Yo, what's up, everyone? This is Eddie Aparicio, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Anthony Tuong Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, a podcast brought to you by GremlingsMedia.com, a podcast that's dedicated to basketball with an emphasis on the NBA. You can find Buzzer Beaters at GremlingsMedia.com, Rumble, YouTube, Pandora, X, Facebook, wherever outlet you find your podcast, you can go ahead and find Buzzer Beaters. Say that again, brother.
Rasputin.
Dude, you're pulling up the old school ones, man. What's up?
I'm old, bro. I'm old. What do you want me to do?
Hey, you know what? You can't tell I'm as old anymore because I shaved the grays, man, you know? So that's why I did what I did. Anyway.
They're still poking through, buddy. Don't give yourself too much credit. They're still poking through.
All right, guys. Well, hey, if this is your first time watching our show, well, hey, this is our 26th show. So go back to the other ones and check out all of our content because we definitely covered all of the preseason hype about the NBA. Oh, we covered all the teams. Now we're here in the regular season, and we are here to talk about the first week of the NBA season of 2024 and 2025. Yeah. So we're going to go ahead and talk about that first. We're going to focus on the West first, then go on to the East, and then we're going to go ahead and talk about the rookies. We have a rookie watch, you know, and then Tuan and I have this contest that we did on picking draft. We drafted, you know, rookies on each team up to, we had four first rounders and one second rounder. And then we're kind of keeping track of how they're doing every game. And we're seeing how well we're doing against each other. Right. So, and then we also had another contest where we, the seedings, you know, for East and the West, we went ahead and I'm keeping tally of that every week. So we're going to go ahead and show the progress on how we're doing it against each other on that. So those are the three topics that we're going to cover today. So, and we're here live, and we're here live for a reason, because we want to hear from you. We want to go ahead and get your comments, your questions. Some of you have been pretty dedicated on this, but we'd like to hear more from you. So this is why this is the reason why we're live. So Tuan, let's go ahead and get into it, man. All right, so, man. You know, the first week, man, you know, we're like four games in for most teams, not most teams. A lot of teams are four games in. Some of them are three games in. So with a lot of them playing tonight, and it looks like Boston's going to go in and take their first loss, man.
Yes,
I mean, like,
it is.
I was about to go ahead and get fired up on the Indiana Pacers because they were just not playing well at all, man. I was like, what is up? So, you know, we're going to go ahead and talk about, you know, some of these games, that some of our observations, some of the you know, the teams that we think are that surprised us so far, you know, key players to watch. You know, some of the guys are just slipping as far as team. I know it's really early, a small sample size, but, you know, hey, this is what we do. We want to talk about this stuff. We're going to want to overhype some things, right? Yep. So, Tuan, let me ask you something, bro. What are some of the things that stood out for you?
So, some things that have stood out. Right now, it's the Thunder and Celtics world, and everyone else is just living in it. Those guys are looking mid-season form. I mean, today's game aside, those guys are looking good. I mean, really, really good. So I'll start there. You know, a lot of good players. Tatum and Brown get the hype over in Boston. But to me, it's still about that backcourt. That backcourt is, pardon the pun, the steady Eddie of the group, right? They're the ones that keep them going. They're the ones that keep them level-headed. They're the ones that keep them successful. And, you know, as I said, they're losing right now, but it wouldn't surprise me if they make a run and try to make this competitive here in the last quarter. The other thing that I've noticed, Minnesota. You know, I've watched three of their games, two bad ones or two not great ones and one pretty good one. Anthony Edwards is playing well, but there's something off with that team. And, you know, I keep telling myself, like, I keep looking at it now with a new set of eyes, kind of kept going, what did Towns do for them that they're missing? Because there's something missing there. And I can't put my finger on it.
You're talking about you're talking about Julius Randle coming to them.
No. What I'm saying is the thing that's changed, obviously, the big change in Minnesota
Towns is gone, right?
They traded Towns. So what did Towns do that isn't being done that makes them seem off?
Yeah, right? Okay. So here's my commentary on that, right?
Yeah.
So I did some analytics research, right? You know, I went over the team ratings for everybody, right? I have everybody's ratings to this point. It's a small sample size, all right? But what's interesting is that the Knicks – offensive rating right now, they're at 119.38, which is fourth in the league. Okay, they're good offensively. And last year, they were one of the better defensive teams. Their defensive net rating is dead last. at 121.3 points per game. And their overall net rating, because their offensive rating is so good, their overall net rating is 15th in the league at -1.92. Something is off with them defensively. I thought it might have been the offense that was off. Something's right. off with them defensively. And Towns isn't, you know, a defensive stalwart. He isn't, right? Julius Randle and Towns are probably comparable, but I would say that Towns is better just because he's taller, right? He can block more shots. You know, and then you got DiVincenzo, being added to the team. You know, he's a defensive guy. You know, I just don't know what's going on with him.
Eddie, here's the weird part. So here's the weird part, though, Eddie. Last year, Minnesota was a great defensive team, right?
Yeah.
Right? And they had Towns, okay? Now Towns leaves, and their defense is not as good right now. Now, right. again, it's early in the season, but their defense is not as good, okay?
Right.
So that would lead you, statistically speaking, that would lead you to believe that Towns' departure impacted their defense somehow.
Yeah, and by the way, I read the wrong numbers. What I was reading was the Knicks. What I gave you was the Knicks.
Understood. Yeah, but
you're saying the Wolves, you know, something's off.
I want to get to your Knicks comment. So last year Minnesota was great defensively. So Towns leaving, it impacted their defense somehow. So one would gather that then the Knicks' defense would either stay the same or improve.
Correct.
But yet where Towns went, that defense went down.
Correct. It's so interesting, huh? Because the one main ingredient that is left, you know, the Wolves are now probably worst defensively, you know, and yet now the Knicks are even worse defensively.
Correct.
So let me real quick, because I went on the Knicks when I should have told you about the Wolves, all right?
Yeah.
The Wolves' offensive rating is 13th in the league right now. They're at 113.76. Their defensive rating is at 113.87, which is 15th in league. Last year, they were second in defense. Yep. Last year. I mean, it's a small sample size, right? So, it's only four games in. But their net rating is 12th. They're a -0.11. So they're pretty much, scoring as many points as they give up on every 100 possessions. That's essentially what it amounts to. So, but you're right. That's an interesting observation that the one guy, the one element that's really – you know, different is Towns, and Towns has gone to a team that has more defensive-minded guys, and Mikal Bridges, you know, as well as OG and Anunoby, you know, and yet they're last in defense, right?
So the one guy's had a negative impact defensively on both teams, one by leaving and one by joining.
Right.
That's just an odd thing. Like, you know, that leads you to believe, like, what's the chemistry? Because the best defensive player out of those three is DiVincenzo by far. Right. So you would think that at least from a perimeter perspective, Minnesota's gotten a lot better defensively. And by the way, I think DiVincenzo's playing really well, like really well. Right. So I keep watching them. And, you know, even against who was the last game they played against that they lost? It wasn't the Lakers. I can't remember now. But where I think Anthony Edwards had like 30 something points. Right. And they still ended up losing. Oh, it's Dallas. They still ended up losing to Dallas. You know, and Anthony Edwards couldn't have played much better than he did, and yet had nothing to show for it.
And that's the thing, though, Tuan, and that was the point that I was going to bring up here, is that you can see that this team is very reliant on Anthony Edwards. I mean, ultra reliant on him. And the thing is, the difference here, what Towns brought to the offense in Minnesota is he's floor spacer, right? He can shoot. Yep. He's one of the best shooting big men in the league. And you know, to a lot of the dismay of like, you know, the big guys who played in this league, like a Shaq, who, you know, it just harps on big guys shooting outside and should stay down low. Towns brought that element to this team. And they lack shooting on that team, honestly. DiVincenzo is going to help with that for sure, right?
Yeah.
Nickeil Alexander-Walker is a decent shooter too, but he's not like, that's not like his claim to fame. That is more of a defensive minded guy. You know, Mike Conley, man, he just looks old now, bro. I mean, like old overnight.
And they're still not playing the rookie.
Yeah, that's what I think they need to. They need to probably bring him out. You know, bring out Terrence Shannon for one, and bring out Rob Dillingham as another. Right? They need some spark, because this team is definitely seems to be going through the motions. You know, granted, anytime you introduce new players, there's an adjustment period, right? And they're probably still going through that, right, with Julius Randle. He's a very different player than Karl-Anthony Towns because he can't shoot as well as Karl-Anthony Towns. He has a decent post-up game. He's one of these bully guys, you know, that takes people down low. And Karl-Anthony Towns could do that too, but there's that missing element of the outside shot.
Yeah, so, and, you know, another thing as we're talking is when Randle and Edwards are on the court, you got two guys that fundamentally play iso ball. When Towns was there, he wasn't so much of an iso guy. He was more of a motion guy. I mean, you know, he'd pass it around or take the shot or move it. So I'm wondering if there's a learning curve there or, you know, because when I watched him against the Lakers in their opening game, the one thing I noticed was Julius Randle was just dribbling a lot. Like he was holding it down low a lot, dribbling a lot, taking a lot of the shot clock away. And at first I thought, okay, that's not right. That's not who I saw last year, you know.
It's kind of their game. That's kind of his game though, bro. And he had extra motivation to go against his team that drafted him too. I'm sure that's why he was trying to hog the ball a little bit more than usual, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah, and so what was interesting was when this trade was done, I was like thinking, oh, Minnesota got the better of the deal. That's what I was thinking because they got kind of a low post guy who they really don't have. You know, Nas is a kind of an outside guy. Gobert is not really an offensive threat. Towns was more really perimeter than he was low post. So I'm thinking, all right, you got a low post guy, which you need, every team needs. And then you got DiVincenzo, who's a dog on the perimeter and can shoot the three. But now I'm looking at this and I'm going, I don't think it's not working. And, you know, and I've only seen one Knicks game. I haven't had a chance to watch more than one. But in the Knicks game, I mean, Towns looked okay. Towns looked like he fit in. I think it was the game against Boston where they got ran. But, you know, I give him a flyer on that because just Boston didn't miss. But, you know, I'm wondering now if New York got the better of the deal.
It's even though they gave away a lot of draft picks to get Mikal Bridges, you know, that team is also in a state of flux. They're ranked right now. I think they are the eighth seed right now in the East right now, and they're a 1-2 record. But what surprises me is their defensive rating is at 30, man. They're dead last. This is, you know, Tom Thibodeau is known for being a defensive-minded coach, and he brought two very defensive-minded players in Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby, and yet there's something wrong there. Maybe they're really missing Dante DiVincenzo because he definitely was a spark plug for that team last year. You know,
the one thing I would acknowledge, and I don't know how much this matters, is both Minnesota and Boston went deeper in the playoffs than they're accustomed to. And maybe as a team, they're a little tired. They're still getting their legs.
Possible. But they're young, man. They're young.
I understood. I'm just trying to look for reasons, right? I don't know, you know, why
they're not
where they were last year. I mean, I thought it was Minnesota and Thunders. And it still may be. But I thought it was Minnesota and Oklahoma fighting it out for first place, right? That's what I thought. And right now, that's not looking like the case. And then New York, you know, like I said, you said they're 1-2. And I only watched one of their games. But you know, the game I saw, even though they lost, I thought they played well. And I do got to watch a couple more New York games. But it, you know, if they're middle of the pack, if they're dead last on defense, that's not a Tom Thibodeau team. And he's going to.
No, I know. That's what surprises me, man. Surprises me. So, all right. So we talked about the Wolves. You briefly talked about the Thunder. The Thunder look legit, man. We already knew they were going to be a really good team. But they're big three, right? They're big three. And Shea, you know, Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren. They're formidable. That's a good big three. And then they're just very deep, you know? Yep. I mean, a guy that played on their team, you know, that hardly played in Lindy Waters comes over to the Warriors and he actually is playing really, really well, man. I mean, that's supposed to show you.
I do want to talk about that because he was – I'm like, dude, is this good? Is this guy really this good? Or is he just – you know, was that just a moment? But, yeah. But, yeah. They still – Hartenstein is still not – has not
– Correct.
Still hurt.
Can you imagine when Hartenstein gets on this team?
No, it's going to be insane. They're
going to be, man, because, you know, he's a defensive-minded guy. He's one of these type of centers that don't need the ball in his hand, right?
Yeah.
They have enough guys on that team that can score. They don't need him to score. They just need him to do all the dirty work, and he does that in space. He does that very, very well. The thing is, he broke his left hand. He's due to come back, I think, in 3 weeks, or at least they're evaluating in 3 weeks, because it's been, I think, already almost 3 weeks since he injured his hand. So he's due to come back in 5 to 6 weeks. So he's coming soon. But then you got like Alex Caruso, who also is on that team. And he's playing like 19 to 20 minutes a night, right? Yeah. I mean, he's not even getting that much run.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that just goes to show you how deep that team is. I mean, they're just
that team is insanely deep. And I was listening that once Hartenstein comes in, they plan to move Chet to the four, and they plan to play both of them together. And I'm like,
wow, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Interesting and scary.
Yeah.
That's a scary squad right now. I mean, you know, I caught a couple of Denver games. They're looking, I mean, Oklahoma made Denver look old. I mean,
yeah, just they did.
They
did. And, so we'll get into Denver, but real quick, OKC, they are 3-0. Their offensive rating, they're number 20th in the league, believe it or not, right now at 109.23. Their defensive rating is number one at 90.81 points a game, right? That's ridiculous. Their net rating is 18.42. Remember last year, Boston went at 11.70, which is number one. That's ridiculous. This is 18.42, and they're second. And they're second to only one other team. And we know who it is. Yep. It's the freaking Warriors. The Warriors are the number one net rated team in the league right now. Okay.
Yep.
But anyway, let's start. You talked about Denver, and you know, dovetail into Denver a little bit. And when you talk about OKC, we know they're good. They're picked by many experts to be representing the West in the finals against more than likely Boston, right?
Yeah.
Those are there's a collision course potentially between those two teams.
That's the way it's looking.
Yeah, but then you look at Denver, dovetail into Denver, okay?
Yep.
Denver is very good from a starting five standpoint, right? Very good from a starting five standpoint. Where they kind of struggle is when those guys need to take a rest, right? They don't have much. They have, Russell Westbrook, he comes off the bench to give a blow to Jamal Murray. You got Julian Strother, who's kind of unproven. He's kind of maybe a one-trick pony of a shooter type of guy, right? Peyton Watson is a defensive guy, but, you can already see just by the names that I brought up. And Dario Saric, These four guys are their main bench players. And you can see the drop-off right from there, right?
Yep. And the games that I watch, Powell hasn't been playing like himself. He's been, a little off. And Gordon has been not – I mean, Gordon, he comes and goes, but – no, I hear you. They got no bench. I mean, I think we talked about it during the offseason. You know, these teams that are playing, that are paying their stars, max contracts, obviously a Joker has the contract. The point guard has a big contract, and so Gordon, they're not going to have any room. They're not going to afford, these other players. And with the hard eight, with the first apron and second apron, and they're just not going to be able to fit these guys.
They're
in.
Hurting,
they're a byproduct of that. As is like a team, like the Phoenix Suns, they're kind of, even though they got Tyus and he's playing point guard, I think he's improved that team significantly from the perspective of everyone's playing more of their natural positions, but they're limited on who they can pick up and who they can acquire.
Right.
Yeah.
No, I know, man. And so they look like, to me, they look like a team they're a one-and-done team right now as far as winning a championship.
I'm with you. I think I had them third or fourth, and we can get to that when we
reach. Yeah, we'll get to that, yeah.
Right now, they're looking maybe even lower than that.
And right now, they're 12, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's still early, man. They're 2-2, okay? But what's interesting about the West, man, compared to the East, and we haven't gone to the East yet, the first team in the West – that has a non-500 record below 500 is actually the San Antonio Spurs, and they are the 13th seeded team in the West. If you compare that to the East, the first sub 500 team in the East is the 7th seeded Washington Wizards. That just goes to show you the discrepancy between the East and the West as far as strength of teams, right? So, all right, we talked about OKC. We talked about the Wolves. We talked about Denver briefly. What are your thoughts of the Lakers, man? What are your thoughts? I mean, they're 3-1 right now. So, they're third in the West right now.
So right now, I'm on my forgiveness because I thought the hiring of JJ Redick was a puppet kind of move by LeBron and all that. And
right.
I think he's first of all, he's made the clear distinction that everything's going to go through Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Now, I don't know the dynamic in terms of politics, whether he talked to LeBron about that or that's something. I don't know. But that's definitely the right move. Hachimura is also a lot. He's been given
more responsibility. He's playing awesome, man.
He is
playing freaking incredibly well, man.
He is. And I think those two guys, well, I mean, Anthony Davis was great before, but the fact that you're going through him and Hachimura, I think those two guys are the difference right now. You know, Reeves is playing like he has been, LeBron is LeBron, but those two guys right now are fundamentally the difference to me as to why the Lakers are so much better than I thought they would be.
For sure. I mean, those guys are, they're glue guys. They do all the dirty work, you know, for teams to be successful, right? And that's what every team needs, guys like that, right? They have two of those guys. And then you have a D'Angelo Russell, who's dangerous. He's a facilitator now. He's normally like a shooter type guy, right? I mean, coming out of Ohio State, he was well known as like a distributing type of point guard. And he's kind of going back to that a little bit more now. I think he recognizes that, you know, his role is to facilitate and shoot when it's needed. But everything now is running through Anthony Davis. And it's probably because J.J. Redick, being a really good shooter himself, probably recognizes that's not the strength of his team. So they're not going to go ahead and stay perimeter focused. Although you have to have some perimeter shooting to be successful in the NBA, in today's NBA. You need it, right? He has that in a few, but they're not really consistent. That's been their Achilles heel in the playoffs, is that they're just not known as a really good shooting team. They're a very good facilitating team that be able if their two guys get help, and it looks like they're getting help now, right? Then this team could be very formidable. And
he's definitely coaching to the team's strength, which is more inside the 3-point arc, right? Yep. Like they're playing inside out ball, which is really what they should be doing. And no, I agree.
Yeah. So, all right, man. So what about, let me ask you this. Okay. We can go to, we can be Homer right now and talk about the Warriors.
All right.
Definitely talk about them, but we definitely want to touch upon some of their teams. But okay. So the Warriors, all right, man, these guys are playing out of their minds. And what's interesting is last night, when you get down by 17 points without a Curry, without a Wiggins, their top two players, offensively, I would say all-around players on that team, and Draymond Green has something to say about that. But realistically, those two, are the two best overall players on that team. Without those two guys, usually that spells like doom for the team to lose, right? But yep. They rallied back, man. And the thing is I think that Kerr, because he has stated that the strength of their team is their depth, they're going to have a 12-man rotation. And last night when they played the Pelicans, and they beat the Pelicans by 18 when they were down by 17. That's a 35-point swing. They played 13 players, man. All right? And that's without three players in De'Anthony Melton, Steph Curry, and Andrew Wiggins. Yep. I mean, gee, that's 16 players that could have essentially
Not only were they down 20 and won by 18, the last 2 minutes they were playing garbage ball. They were playing, and the irony of that is Moses Moody started that game.
Yes.
And then Moses Moody was playing during the junk minutes, which is crazy. Like, you're a starter and you're playing the junk minutes. That's just like nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? You know which player had the best performance from a fantasy standpoint on that team last night?
Well, I want to say Lindy Waters.
It was Lindy Waters.
Yes.
That's the guy we were talking about, an Oklahoma City Thunder who very rarely played. Because of their depth, he comes over to the Warriors, and they actually paid a draft pick to get him, and lo and behold, this guy shows out. I mean, he can shoot.
Hey, Eddie, is he this good?
He is a good shooter. That's what he's known for.
But he got
a good shooter.
He had eight rebounds, which is a really good numbers for a guard his size. And the one thing I will tell you that I've noticed, so you've got Steph, you've got Wiggins, you've got Moody, you've got Hield, and you've got Waters. These are five guys that I would consider above average 3-point shooters. Wiggins, I'm on the fence on, but the other four, and what seems to be happening, with the exception of the Clippers game, is in every one of those games, one of those four has gotten caught hot from the 3-point line, and then it's almost like it's infectious to the other three. Then all of a sudden, they just start falling for everyone. And, for the first two games, it was Hield, Buddy Hield started that game. Didn't really play all that great.
No,
and then
he didn't.
They put in Waters in the second half. He started the second half, and forget it. The lid fell off the rim, and they were just freaking, they were gone.
Yeah. But what's an interesting thing here, Tuan, is that, in the past Steve Kerr led, teams, he always had like a very tight rotation, like 7 to 8, right? Maybe 9, you know, sometimes, especially in the 2015 years, he probably had 9, you know, that he could play. But he always wants to be around 7 or 8 that he trusts. And he's always going to the vets. That's what he's always been known for. But the fact that this year he stated that they're going to be 12-man rotation, I think what's happened is that really motivated a lot of players on the team. They're fighting for freaking minutes. They want to play, right?
Competing against each other,
Yep, and so there's healthy competition going on that team. And you can see it. They're playing well with each other. I mean, they look like a team, man. They don't. Their strength is the team, not the sum of their parts, right? It's the team, and you can see they're very cohesive defensively, especially.
Defense last night is what got them back in it.
Yeah, their defense is like number two. So as far as net defensive rating, they're number two. OKC Thunder are number one. And then their offensive rating, they're number three at 120.49. The Celtics are the number one team. You know, we know that. I forgot who the number two team. I have to look that up. But the net rating, they're number one. They're at 20.90 net rating. I mean, it helps when you beat the freaking Jazz and the Portland Trailblazers by, you know, an average of 35 points. That helps with that net rating, right? Then, of course, it came back down to earth against the Clippers. You know, the Clippers are a better team than everybody's going to give credit to them for. And I have them ranked higher than you do. You see them dropping off because of Kawhi not playing, and your prediction is pretty much on it as far as Kawhi probably not playing as much. But they're still a good team. They're a very defensive-minded team. So, they faltered against the Clippers, and then they looked like they were going to falter against the Pelicans, but they man, that depth, that strength in numbers, right? It got them right back in the game. So this team is
they're going to be better than people. Really interesting because they're gonna have a second night in a row. Which, by the way, when did the NBA start doing these back to back against the same team?
I think it was like two years ago.
What's up with that?
It was 2 years ago. It was 2 years ago when they started doing it. I don't know why they did that. The home at home. I don't know why they did that, but
yeah, it's just kind of weird.
They do it all. They're going to do it, you know, back to the Pelicans. You know, the same thing. You know, they're going to – it's that kind of a format now, right? I don't know.
So Eddie, I want to ask you something because, you know, I hear all the pundits. I hear all of the NBA experts. And when they hear a 12-man rotation, they're like, it can't be done, right? Like, you can't do it. The question – I've been thinking about it. The only drawback that I can come up with on a 12-man rotation is that when you get to the playoffs – every team tightens up their rotation.
Yeah.
Right? Which means that your rotation, if it's 12 men, you're going to have your second unit most likely playing 3 to 4 starters of the other team because the rotations have been tightened down. So now you get potentially a skill set imbalance. But during the regular season, what are the drawbacks of a 12-man? Why are the pundits so like against it? What is from
because,
your perspective?
I think because they don't think that it could be managed well. And that's part because most teams are not that deep and they don't think that there's a lot of egos that get in the way in terms of playing time. And I think because of that, they think that, you know, a head coach is not able to manage this effectively and be able to manage all the egos that want more playing time. You know, right now you're seeing, you know, Steph Curry playing 25 minutes a night, you know, which is a blessing for him. Long term, right? Unfortunately, he just got hurt, right? A freak little, you know, ankle injury that he has, you know, his weakness in his ankles for since he came to the league. But you know, it's pretty mild. He's going to come back. De'Anthony Melton, on the other hand, we know he's had back issues,
and that's a little more concerning.
That's a little bit more concerning because he missed a lot of the season last year because of his back. Wiggins, you know, he'll be back, man. I think he's probably going to come back, you know, as next game for sure, but. You know, I think that to answer your question, it's just that it's never really been successfully done. And if anybody can do it, Steve Kerr could do it. I mean, he's a proven great head coach. You know, he's a player's coach. You know, the players love him and respect him, you know, because he's got 8 rings, right? So, you know, they're going to follow his lead. And I think this has motivated that team, man. We shall see.
We shall see. The outside of Kuminga. Right. And I want to talk about him in 1 second. Outside of Kuminga, you look at and you pull Draymond and Steph because they don't count. The other players aren't really ego players. They're not really players. I think they're players that understand they're never going to be the guy. You know, Anthony Melton. I keep butchering that. But, you know, he's been around the league. You know, GP2's been around the league. Buddy Hield's been around the league. You know, Slow-Mo's been around the league. I mean, all these guys are experienced guys that understand their roles. And so from a perspective of managing, you know, Moses Moody has never been anything but open to what the Warriors want.
Professional. He's been very professional.
Kevon Looney has never been, has always been professional. And with a smile on his face. The only one, the only one that could burst that bubble, and he's way outnumbered, is Kuminga. And, you know, and kudos to Kerr, you know, yesterday he had him come off the bench and he was talking about spacing and, you know, Kuminga doesn't shoot well and it messes with the spacing and, you know, whatever. They posted it on social media. I think Kuminga didn't quite like that fact of it. You know, like somebody put it on social media, hey, he's getting benched. And I'm sure he didn't appreciate that. But outside of Kuminga, I think it is a manageable situation given these players. Obviously, if you've got 10 rookies or 10 star, I mean, it's not going to work because everyone thinks they should be the man. In this case, I think a lot of players know their roles.
Yeah, and there's also that, you know, there is an argument also that, you know, a lot of these players are actually, you know, trying to, or let's say that the Warriors are playing all these players because they're trying to potentially make them more tradable too, so that they shine out a little bit more, right? And so that, you know, when the time comes, depending on how their record is, right, if this 12-man rotation is doing well and they're like the 3 seed, for instance, right, let's just say that and throw that out, they're not going to do anything, right? But if they're like in the 6th to 7th to 8th seed, right around the deadline, they have all these players that have done like essentially dress rehearsals for potentially other teams who might covet, you know, these players and then get involved into a trade. That's another byproduct of what he's doing.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, and depending on if Kuminga's giving them what they need, Kuminga could be the center of that trade package.
Potentially. And the thing is that, you know, Dunleavy has proven that so far in his second year as GM, that he's not going to try and sell the house to try and get somebody, right? He's going to go for the right deal. And, you know, there's reports recently I heard that the Warriors are very close to getting Paul George. It's just that the Clippers didn't want to play. Paul George wanted to come to the Warriors. Very interesting. That just came out recently.
And you know what's funny is I heard, you know, I read also that they wanted both Markkanen and George. It wasn't one or the other. They wanted both.
They would have to sell the farm. Essentially, they'd only have like 4 or 5 players left and then a bunch of freaking G League players on that team. But anyway.
Exactly.
But anyway, so I know we spent a lot of time on the Warriors, man. We probably should probably move on to some other teams. Okay, let me ask you this. Phoenix, Mavericks, Clippers. Any of those guys stand out as far as anything Clay, that you want to talk about?
Clay's playing really well for the Mavericks. You know, he's showing signs of a Clay we hadn't seen consistently for a while in Golden State. So, you know, he looks like he's a little happier. I'm happy for him. Luka's a beast. Kyrie Irving scores when
he's been playing very well, man.
Yeah, you know, that double-headed monster of Lively and what's the other center?
Gafford. Well, Gafford, P.J. Washington, all three.
Well,
those two
two-center combo is outstanding. I mean, that is a very underrated piece. You know, I was just really, really impressed with their overall balance. Even though Luka's the man, it doesn't feel heavy weighted on his side. You know, like when you looked at Minnesota last year, it just was very Anthony Edwards heavy. And this team with Dallas seems like it's spread out as best as it can be, considering you've got, you know, a potential MVP, you know, in Luka on that team. So Dallas has impressed me. You know, Phoenix, still hard to say. You know, they kind of have their ups and downs. And we're still kind of
dividing. They're number 2 seed right now, though, bro. They have the number 2 seed right now, 3-1.
Yeah, but, okay. I'll leave it at that. I'm giving you the eye test.
All right.
And then who was the other team that you mentioned?
Mavericks. Oh, Clippers.
Yeah, Rocket. The only game I watched the Clippers was against the Warriors. And obviously they look good. You know, Harden looks like Houston Harden. You know, I haven't really watched a Sacramento game. I haven't had an opportunity to watch a Memphis game or a San Antonio game yet. So on those fronts, I don't have any feedback. But I think, you know, I think Dallas looks good. Oklahoma City looks fantastic. The Lakers look much stronger than I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Yep. Houston, I haven't watched much at all. I don't know if you have any opinions there.
I have not watched any of their games yet. Not yet.
And then Minnesota has taken a step back right now and see if I'm going to see if they figure it out.
But what's interesting, okay, out of the top, let's say out of the top six teams in the West, okay, the top six teams are OKC, Phoenix, Lakers, Mavericks, Warriors, and the Clippers, okay? Yep. Out of those six teams, the rookies that have played the most so far have been on Phoenix. And it's probably because of necessity, right? Yep. Oso Iguodaro, as well as Ryan Dunn, have gotten some run on the Phoenix Suns. The Lakers, they've been playing Dalton Connect, okay? You know, Mavericks, they drafted someone in the second round, right? The Warriors, you know, they haven't really – have they played anybody? They haven't even played – what's his name? I don't think he's – Quentin Post is even on the – he's not even playing. The Clippers, they haven't played your guy, you know, Cam Christie, at least not much. So it's interesting that the only real rookies that have played that have cracked the rotation have been guys kind of in the lower half of the draft, right? Ryan Dunn, Osi Iguodaro, I think there might have been second round picks. And then you got Dalton Connect, who's his number 17 pick. That's interesting, right? Like I said, I don't think this rookie class was very deep. We'll go through that on the next segment. We're going to talk about the rookie watch, you know, rookie stock watch. But anyway, so all right. So we spent some time, enough time on the West. Let's go to the East, man. So right now, as it stands, the top six teams in the East are the Cavs, the Celtics, the Magic, the Heat, the Bulls, and the Hawks. Okay. The Bulls and the Hawks are both 2-2. The Heat are 2-1. Magic are 3-1. Celtics are now 4-1. And then the Cavaliers, they were killing.
Oh, hey, Eddie, overtime tied at 127.
Oh, the Celtics came back.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've been trying to look over there to see, catch up on what the score is. And
all right. 127. So I shouldn't have spoke too soon, man. It could be 5-0 Celtics, right? And the Cavs, I know they were beating up on the Lakers earlier. I don't know. Do you have a score on that one?
On the Lakers?
Yeah, Lakers and Cavs. They were playing. Cavs were killing them by 20 earlier.
Let me see.
So, but what I can tell you as you're looking at that, so the Cavaliers at being number one, okay, they're 4-0. Offensive rating, they're the ones that I was trying to remember. Who was the second offensive rated team? It's the Celtics being number one. The Cavaliers are number two at 123.14. Their defensive rating is fourth. They're at 106.53, and their net rating is third at 16.62. Cavaliers are playing some ball, man. They haven't really added to – the only guys they really added are Sam Merrill and Georges Niang. Those are the only guys they really added, man. They don't have that other guy that they had last year anymore, the guy who played for the Heat. I forgot his name. But anyway, so they don't have him anymore, but they replaced it with these two guys. And I think it's Kenny Atkinson, man. Kenny Atkinson, in fact, has come in and changed this the flow of this team. You know, the Garland Mitchell backcourt, we all thought, hey,
it's not gonna work.
Are these guys going to really work together? Right?
It's working.
It's working. And then you got, of course, the double, you know, twin tower thing of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. You know, that's the strength, honestly, of their team, in my opinion. Because they're
Jared Allen was probably the number one guy I wanted the Warriors to pick up during the offseason.
I know, because he does all the dirty work, man. He plays well, man. But did you see any of the Cavaliers won today?
I have not watched the Cavaliers. I have not had a chance to watch the Cavaliers, but they did beat the Lakers.
They did. Okay, so they're 5-0.
They ended up beating them by 14 points. So
yeah, they were beating them pretty bad earlier, man. So the Cavs, I mean, you know, I think you and I had the Cavs right around the top 4-5 range, and it's still early, man. The Cavs are a good team, and there's a little bit more cohesiveness now. And Kenny Atkinson is a good coach, right? He coached for the head coach for the New Jersey Nets at the time, now Brooklyn Nets. And then, you know, he became an assistant coach on Steve Kerr's staff, and now he got this head coaching job when, you know, J.B. Bickerstaff took the Cavaliers all the way, you know, to the, I think it was the second round last year, and then he got fired, and then now they bring in Kenny Atkinson, and it seems to be working, man, so.
One thing to note, Eddie, I don't know if you, but the three undefeated teams, which are the Thunder, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers, are all three teams, and Oklahoma a little more than the other two, that barely touch their starting five, if at all. So they just have cohesion, right? They're just more familiar. While every other team is trying to, you know, with some exceptions, Denver didn't really introduce anything, but you know, I that's a whole different conversation. But
no, it's just that they need, they're just lacking depth, man. That's the problem. They're lacking depth. So the Cavaliers, they're not necessarily deep. They just seem to be working right now. I mean,
and they know each other. They're familiar. They're that same. I mean, it's pretty much the same starting five. They're good to go. The Celtics are the same starting five. The Thunder, with the exception of Giddy, you know, same starting five. And so, so, I mean, that goes a long way early in the season. What we're going to see is when these other teams start kind of working in the new players, figuring it out. Let's see if and when those things start to change, that starts to shift the landscape.
Yep. So, hey, did you see the other night, Paolo Banchero?
Yes.
With 50 points, man?
Yes.
You know how many fantasy points he scored? 86. He was like 88, dude. That's crazy.
No,
fantasy points, 88 in one game. That's crazy.
Orlando's gonna, you know, they're gonna threaten, you know, in the East. They're gonna threaten.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is last year I think they were the second net defensive rated team in the league last year. Right now, small sample size, four games. They're seventh right now. 109.51. That's seventh best in the league for defensive rating. Their offensive rating is at 116.19, which is sixth in the entire NBA. And then the net rating is fifth at 6.68 net. Okay. Right. So, you know, this team is cohesive, man. They're young. They're like the Oklahoma City Thunder of the East, in my opinion. That's how I would classify them, because they're young and hungry. Right. Yep. And just the only thing is, they're not really, I mean, their offense is showing out a little bit better on small sample size this year. But last year, that was their problem. They're a very good defensive team, but their offense was struggling. But if their offense could come, you know, and show any semblance of improvement from last year, then they were going to be a problem. And looking like, you know, right now, it seems to have clicked, at least so far in the first four games, right?
Yeah.
All right, what about your any other observations? Like, how about the Heat, the Bulls, Hawks, Knicks? Knicks? You talked about the Knicks.
Let's talk about Milwaukee
for Sixers.
The Milwaukee. Milwaukee. Going on there? They've been Doc River, I think, is what's happened. Man, I don't know what's going on over there. They just, you know, I know they're waiting for what's his face? I always forget his name.
Chris Middleton.
Yeah, Chris Middleton.
He's always hurt, man. Every year.
Yep. Every year he's out for a certain period of time, but
he's the Kawhi Leonard of the East, man. That's what he is.
Yeah. They're going to be interesting, because if they keep down this road, you know, Giannis is going to want out. You know, there's players that are going to want out, and you know, we were talking about teams like the Warriors that are stacked, ready to make a trade. You know, I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's a dream scenario, but
yeah, but not this offseason. Maybe next offseason, but not this offseason.
But I don't know what's going on with Milwaukee. You know,
they're the 14th seeded team right now. I mean, small sample size, they're 1-3, but dude, they're mostly known for a defensive team. Their defensive rating right now is 22nd in the league, 22nd at 116.82. Right? That's what they hang their head on, is defense. Just like the Knicks, they hang their hat on defense. The Knicks are 30th. The Milwaukee Bucks are number 22. Their offense. That was what they were really good at last year, is their offense and defense. They were like top five net rating team last year. And then now, you know, their net rating is at 22nd at negative 0.478 right now. They're 22nd in the league. These stats tell a lot, man. There's a reason why this team is struggling. And why that is, they just look old to me, man. They just look old. They looked old last year.
They are old. They're too dependent on the two main stars. You know, they're just, again, they're complementary players, or, you know, they're okay, you know, but they need more. They're old. They need more. You know, I mean, they're kind of where Denver's going to be in like 2 years if they continue the same way.
No, I agree. Yeah. I don't know. Do you see them recovering? Do you see them getting back to the top four like we predicted?
No, I see them maybe getting into like cracking 7-8 maybe.
Oh, wow. Maybe. Wow. Okay.
But I mean, I'm looking at the standings. You know, I think Cleveland, Boston, Orlando, they're solidified somewhere in the top six.
I agree. I agree.
The Knicks are eighth right now. The Knicks are going to be in the top six.
I agree too. I agree.
Right now, I'm looking at Philadelphia and Indiana that are going to be in a much better place than they currently stand. So
yeah, I mean, Philly hasn't played their two best players yet, man. I mean, Paul George.
Exactly. I see Milwaukee below all of those teams.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, what are we left with? They're going to be better than the Hornets, the Nets, the Pistons.
The Raptors.
The Wizards, the Raptors, and the Bulls, maybe.
The Bulls and the Hawks. Okay, so the Bulls and the Hawks, they're 2-2. Do you see them being better? I mean, is this real, or is this kind of like just the schedule right now? Do you think that they're?
I think it's the schedule. We've had a big enough sample size with Atlanta. I mean, they've had better players than they currently have now, and they haven't been able to make it work. I don't see them. I see them, you know, having an overall about a 500 record, but no, I don't see them being as significant. And I see them in the play-in game like they have been the last couple of years.
Well, you know, they've been playing Risarche a little bit more.
Yep, I was looking at those numbers.
He actually had a decent game tonight. So I didn't see if they won or not. I just looking at his player performance because I had him in a bunch of FanDuel lineups. But, you know, he's actually showing out a little bit. You know, I wouldn't say that he's looking like the best rookie in the class just yet, yeah, right? Definitely. And we'll get to that to the next segment. That's our next segment. For those of you who are on here, thanks for watching and listening. Please keep in mind that we are here live, and we're here live for a reason because we want to hear from you. So if you have any questions or commentary or maybe topics you'd like us to cover for future shows, please feel free to go ahead and post it if your platform allows that. Thanks for listening. All right. Go ahead, bro.
Yeah. So no, I was just going to say, I don't see Milwaukee, you know, being significantly better than, you know, Charlotte, Brooklyn. I mean, no. In short, Eddie, no.
The Raptors were another team that, you know, Scottie Barnes is going to be out like 6 weeks. I don't know if you know that. He fractured his orbital socket. So that's their best team. So, you know, they could be on a sell-off here pretty soon, man. Yeah. You know,
well, not only will he be out, when he comes back, he'll be wearing that damn mask, and a lot of players.
Correct. And that's going to mess up his game, man.
Yeah.
So, okay. So the Pacers, they were another team. They're 1-3. They were struggling big time. But you know, now it looks like they're going to overtime. At least, you know, Boston. And I don't know what the result of that game is.
They're up 3. Indiana's up 3 with 6 seconds left.
Oh, so it could be another overtime if the Boston scores. But anyway, they're struggling too, man. Their offensive rating, they're 18. Last year, they're number 2. Last year, they were the second best offensive rated team in the league behind the Celtics. And now, you know, could be sample size. Something's wrong there, man. I mean,
did you read? So Halliburton. So I guess Halliburton was on the Olympic squad, was talking to Steph, and Steph was saying that the key to a good shooting game is to take a nap before the game, you know?
Right.
So
right.
Halliburton's okay. So Halliburton started taking a nap, and he's been shooting horribly. So he he came back and he yelled at Steph. He's like, dude, screw you. I'm never listening to you again.
Hey, what worked for some does not work for others, right?
Yeah, exactly, I mean, exactly. Yeah. No more naps for me, bro.
That was good advice, Steph. Thanks for messing up some guy who already was his mentals were already screwed up from the freaking Team USA experience, just like Jason Tatum, we thought, right? Right, and he hasn't been the same. I mean, he's been struggling in Tyrese Halliburton, man. You know, and it could be the effect of Team USA. You just never know because he hardly played. You know,
No, it could be. It could be a lot of things. You know, what he's not putting into the equation is in basketball years, Steph's 196 years old. Of course, he needs a nap. He needs a nap before the game. He needs a nap after the game. He runs around like a demon out of hell. Of course, he needs nap. You know, you're a young buck. You don't need no naps. Just get out there and play.
Right. Well, cool, man. So, you know, the last thing I'll bring up before we go on to our next segment is that you and I had a little a bet, all right? Yeah. We had another bet. We're full of bets, bro.
We're full of bets. Yeah.
Okay. The one bet that we had is that I said that the Portland Trailblazers would have a better overall seed than the Detroit Pistons.
Okay? Yeah.
Now, right now, Portland's 1-3. Portland's 1-3. Portland, just to give you some metrics, they are the 29th ranked offensive team in the league, okay? Yeah. Your Pistons are the 23rd ranked offensive team in the league.
But they haven't won.
Now, defense-wise, Portland is 13th right now, okay? Yeah. Your Pistons are 24th,
Lord. Right?
Their net rating, the Pistons.
My Pistons. I like how you're giving them to me. I don't.
Yeah, but the net rating for the Pistons right now is 27th at -8.17, whereas Portland is at 24th at -6.49. So right now I'm ahead, but it's only four games in, right? There's a whole there's 78 games left to go, man. But anyway, that's one bet that we have. So all right, so now let's go ahead and go to our rookie. We're not going to go to the rookie drafts. You don't have to show that thing yet, man. So this is more just talking about just rookies, our observations on some of the rookies that have been playing in the NBA so far. All right. So let me go ahead and share some information with you. All right.
All right.
So I did some research on this and I kind of got the top 10 rankings. And usually, when we picked our little draft, right, the next segment, we're going to talk about our contest that Twan and I have on. You know, we both drafted rookies, you know, up to five. We had five rookies on each team, or we're keeping track of their stats. And then, you know, see who has a better point total, whose team has the best point total by the end of the season. And then we also had a the projected standings for the East and the West. And we have a point system on that. We're going to give an update on that after this segment. But part of the thing in drafting the players that we did for our next segment in the rookies is that we want to go ahead and pick players that had the opportunity to play a lot. Okay. And that's what you want. You want guys who are going to get the opportunity to play a lot, right? So that they can accumulate stats and get the points so that you can beat me, you know, ultimately with the amount of points your team scores.
With one gotcha in that conversation, that is that Eddie and I each had to pick one second rounder, which was a little more challenging to figure out how much playing time a second rounder might get.
Right.
Yeah, that was a little more. The first rounders you kind of get a feel for, but the second rounders are kind of, for me, I was just like a toss-up.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So let me give you the rankings right now. Right now, I'm going to give you three sets of rankings. Okay.
Okay.
The first ranking I'm going to give you is in terms of minutes played. Okay. This is the amount. I'm going to go from highest minutes played to the lowest out of the top 10 rookies in this class. Okay. So right now, the number one guy who has the most minutes right now is Alex Sarr of the Washington Wizards. Okay.
Okay.
He's number one at 24.6 minutes per game. He's a starter, okay? They have Valanciunas coming off the bench for him, right? Okay. He's a starter right now. Bob Carrington, he's another guy on the Washington Wizards, all right? Yeah. 24.1 minutes per game, okay?
Yeah.
So right now, Washington is trying to go ahead and, you know, showcase their drafted class because number three is Keyshawn George of the Washington Wizards. 22.8 minutes per game. Wow. Now, I probably should have go ahead and indicated where these guys were drafted because I don't remember. I know Alex Sarr was number two, okay? Bob Carrington, I think, was somewhere in the late first round, if I remember correctly. Keyshawn George, I think, might have been, you know, late first round or late or early second round. I don't remember. Cody Williams was definitely a lottery pick, okay? Yep. Cody Williams is the number four guy, okay, out of Utah. 22.6 minutes per game.
A player you drafted.
The player that I drafted, exactly. Yeah. All right, now Zachary Richardson is number five. Okay,
that's all right. the player I drafted.
That's the guy that you drafted. He's at 22.5 minutes per game right now. Okay. Number six, Yves Missi, that in New Orleans, 21.8 minutes per game. Okay. The seventh highest guy is Stephon Castle of the San Antonio Spurs, and he's also
you drafted.
Yep, another guy drafted at 20.9. Oh. And the next guy after that is another guy I drafted, and that's Jamal Shedd of the Toronto Raptors. He's at 20.3 minutes per game.
Yeah.
So right there, dude, I got three guys. Oh, number nine is Jalen Wells. No one drafted him out of Memphis. Yep. Okay, he's cracked that rotation, and that's a pretty deep team, Memphis. So he's already cracked that rotation. The last guy is Zach Edey. So I have four guys here.
I have four guys in the top ten.
So you're screwed, bro. You are screwed.
Well, that would explain why you're kicking my butt.
Well, we'll go ahead and get to that, man, right? All right, so then let's go to the next list. This is rankings in terms of points. Now, typically, this is what a lot of the general population looks out for, right?
Yeah.
They just look, okay, who's scoring the most points? That's going to be the rookie of the year, right?
Yep.
There's usually a lot more that goes into that, right? But here, I'm going to give you, like, I'll give the rankings from 1 to 10, but this is points per game, okay? Number one is Bud.
This is points per game, not points per 100 possessions.
No, points per game right now.
Okay.
Points per game. So number one is Bud Carrington, Okay. Number two is Yves Missy. Number three is Jamal Shedd. That's number true. Four is Jalen Wells. Now, right now, we haven't cracked the double digits. These guys are all in the 8.7 to 8 range right now. Okay. Number five is Ryan Dunn at 7.8. Number six is Zach Edey at 7.8. Number seven is your boy, Zachary Risarchet. Number eight is Alex Starr at 7. And then these number nine is Jonathan Mogbo. Okay, he's at 6.8. And the last guy on the top 10 as far as points per game is Stephon Castle at 6.7. Yeah. Right, so yeah. You can see I have what four guys Star, here on this list. Bro.
You have Starr, Edey, Castle, and Shedd.
Correct. Yeah. Well, now Shedd's not on this one, but yeah. Oh. But anyway, okay. So, but if you break it down from statistically, all the stats, okay, points, rebounds, assists, blocks, steals, yep. turnovers, just like fantasy. All right, you keep track of all this stuff, right? The highest rated guy. Who do you think is going to be, bro? After everything I read to you, who do you think is the number one guy?
Castle.
No. One more guess.
Sar.
No. He's number three. All right. Number one is Yves Missy. From out of all Pelican. Statistical categories, man, he's number one right now.
Wow.
So is this going to tell you that he's going to be rookie of the year? Yeah. He's not on a sexy, you know, he's not a sexy pick because he just does all the dirty work, right? And and all of these, you know, writers, they vote for the guys who are flashy, right? Right now, no one's really flashy. The only one who's really played really well, honestly, that looks like a team, a player who's going to be in the rotation right now, just right now, is probably Alex Starr, realistically, right?
Yeah.
Okay, number two is Mogbo. He's the second best overall statistical ranked guy out of this draft class right now. Number three
Toronto,
is Alex.
Right? USF, Toronto.
USF, exactly. Yeah. That's Toronto, correct. He was the number one pick in the second round.
Yep.
Then Alex Sarr is number three. Donovan Klingon is the number four guy. Number five is Bub Carrington. Number six is Jamal Shedd. Ho, ho, ho. Looks like I'm going to get me a dinner, brother. All right. Ryan Dunn. Okay, we mentioned him playing out of Phoenix, right? He's cracked the rotation. Right out of necessity, because Phoenix doesn't have a very deep bench, they need players, right? So, Ryan Dunn is number seven. But one of your guys showed up finally on this list, man. Dalton Connect, all right. Dalton Connect
finally,
he's the eighth guy. And number nine, overall statistic wise, is Cody Williams. And number 10 is Stephon Castle. Damn. Interesting, right? So, out of all of these guys that I read, okay, Missy, Mogbo, Sar, Klingon, Bud Carrington, Jamal Shedd, Dunn, Connect, Williams, Stephon Castle. Zach Edey's not on this list, man. All right.
No.
So out of this list, who do you think has the most shine, name recognition, flashy, that this writer would say, okay, this guy is the rookie of the year? Probably nobody, bro, right?
I mean, just because of his draft number, I have to go with Sar at this point.
Yeah. And that's the one guy, like I mentioned in previous podcasts, that most of the GM said he has the most star potential. It's just whether or not, like we saw in the summer league, his motor just wasn't there, right? Maybe he's figured something out, man. He's starting now, okay? He's going to get his opportunity. We shall see if that translates. But yeah.
Filipowski was nowhere to be heard.
Filipowski is not even on this list, man.
I'm looking at your numbers. Like, he gave me a couple of donuts. I'm going to call him the donut man. He gave me some donuts, bro. Nada. And my boy Gonzalez, who I'm really high on,
right?
Dudu Brown right now, man.
So okay, so now go ahead and show up the spreadsheet now, bro. Now we're going to our third segment. Now our third segment is about the contest. We're pretty much wrapping this thing up, man. We're at an hour. We're probably gonna have another 10 more minutes, but blow that up a little bit more. So if you can, all right. So these are the teams. These are the rookies that Tuan and I had drafted, a couple weeks ago before the season started. Right when the season started. And I had the number one pick just because I've been losing a lot of freaking bets to this guy. And I needed to know he granted me the number one pick. So I took Edey, okay? I took Edey with the number one pick. I forgot. I think you took Shepard with your number one pick. Anyway,
I did.
So you can see right here. Now, the points that I have here shown are fantasy points, okay? This is points are points. So 2, 3 points, 5 points, whatever. That's points. Then you got 1.2 points for a rebound. And then 1.5 points per an assist. And then 3 points for a steal, block, and then one minus one for turnover. But you can see here, I'm keeping track of every game that these guys are playing. And you can see that right now, My overall score is 250.6 points to 104.9, dude.
You're destroying me.
It's getting ugly, bro. All right.
It is.
My boy
Reese Arshay is coming in at least in game.
Yeah, he's gonna start showing out. I mean, he has been playing, man, and playing well lately. So
my boy Buzelis is gonna come. Just give him a minute. He's gonna come.
Dude, but he's hardly getting any minutes. The only guy on your team that's getting like significant minutes is Reese Arshay. He's the only one, and then Connect is after that. Now the Buzelis is getting like 3 minutes a night. Shepherd is getting like 10 minutes a night. Filipowski's getting like 6 or 7 minutes a night.
Yeah, right? I gotta hope between Connect and Reese Arshay that they're gonna save my bacon here.
Yeah.
And get something. But you're right. Filipowski, I mean, until they go into total dunk mode and Utah does, you know, he's gonna not get very many minutes. We'll see. Shepherd has a chance, but you're right. No, right now, I mean, you know, if I had to redo this draft, I just would have drafted every rookie that Washington picked up, and then
correct.
I had a freaking
correct because right they're you know? Playing the rookies, man. They have nothing to lose, man. Why not, right? They have nothing to lose. They have nothing to lose, right?
Yeah, I had that. All right, man. So that.
All right, so we're gonna keep track of this every week. All right, we're gonna show you the standings.
This is fun. I like this. Even though I'm getting smoked right now, I like it.
All right, man. So let's go to the standings contest. We can show you where we're at. Now, this is a little. So what I want the audience to see here is that we have the ones shaded in kind of light orange is the West, okay? And then the ones shaded in the blue are the East. You have Twan's rankings versus my rankings. The column on the left of both of our rankings is actually where they're at right now, where they are seated right now. And then the ones that are projected were our picks before the season began, right? And we have a point system where we assign 5 points if you get the seed correct. And then you get 3 points if you one off either direction, right? And then you have 2 points if you're two off, and then no more points after that. All right.
Yep.
So you can see in the West, Twan, you have 22 points right now, right?
Yep.
You have the Thunder is the only one, and as well the Spurs. Those two right now are the ones that you have correct right now. So that accounts for 22 points. Mine is 31 right now. Now, this is all subject to it's gonna change dramatically
next
week, right?
Of course.
This is gonna fluctuate big time, right?
Yep.
But you know, you right now, I think if you scroll, I think I have 31 to 22 right now in the West. And if we go to the East, you can probably scroll that over a little bit more. Yeah. So then you can see right now you have 12 points, you know, on the East. And then I have 18. Okay.
Correct.
So again, this is going to fluctuate right now. The overall score, I think if you can scroll up a little bit, you can show the score. I think overall, there we go. Twan's overall score is 34 points. My overall score is 49.
This Eddie is owned me. Week one of these contests, Eddie owned me.
It's going to fluctuate big time next week, man. So, again, we're going to go ahead and keep track. We invited the audience to go ahead and post up their rankings on the comments, but no one did it. So, hopefully you guys, I think the reason why is because we didn't have a contest behind it. If we got like, you know, John and Guillermo William to go and say, let's give away like $1,000, right?
You know what we could have done, Eddie? You know what we could have done is we could have gave away the winner gets to jump on with us on this show. For the first round of the playoffs, you know, something like that. After everything closes out, they could have jumped in with us and give us their playoff perspective.
Exactly, man. Exactly, man. Right on, man. So, all right. Well, you know, this is our show. And we did it in 1 hour and 4 minutes, man. That's pretty damn good, Twan.
We're trying to stick to an hour.
You are trying to stick to an hour because we don't want to lose your guys' attention here, man. I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Twan Corral. We talked about, you know, the West and the East, some of our observations that we have seen to this point. And then we did a segment on the rookies, you know, how these rookies are ranking. And we're going to look at this, you know, occasionally. We're not going to do it every week, all right? We're going to do it on an occasional basis. We don't want to make it too predictable, right?
Yeah.
The contest thing.
Hey, audience, let me just be clear. We're going to look at it whenever Eddie kicks my butt. And then when I'm winning, Eddie's going to
be right, right.
This is a bad week. I don't think we should go over this week.
You know me too well, brother. You know me for a long time, bro.
He's already prepping the road.
You know what's a trip, bro? You've known me for almost 40 years, bro.
Yeah, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
I think on our next show, maybe we should tell the audience how we met.
It's a little bit of an interesting story.
So maybe we'll.
We did talk about it on the Big Questions with John.
We did talk about it.
So we did talk about. We can go ahead and if you want to go ahead and see that, get a sneak peek, going on Big Questions with John. There's one about the buzzer beaters. They interviewed us. and, you know, gave us a bunch of questions. And one of those is how we met, right? Yeah. But we can go ahead and recap that next week. Anyway.
Yeah, but it's we been talked a long about, time.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Eddie ever since he was as big as he is now. Anyway. But I probably twice the size I was when Eddie first met me.
That's true, bro. I think you're bigger. I think you're bigger and heavier than me now, bro.
Yeah,
I think you are. I think you're bigger than me, bro.
Come on now. Yeah, we don't have to go down that route. Come on, man.
All right. Well, anyway, so we talked about the rookie watch, and then we talked about our contest, and we're going to go ahead and review the contest, you know, every week to see how we're doing, right?
Yep.
But anyway, this is Buzzer Beaters. We're glad you joined us. We'd like to get more commentary and questions, so please, we're live for a reason so that you can go ahead and give us that commentary. Maybe give us some topics to talk about for the future shows if you want. But we're going to go ahead and do this every week. We're going to talk about what we observed on the NBA, any news that comes up, right? We're going to talk about. So, again,
Eddie, you close out, Indiana won the game.
Oh, they did.
Wonder by Siakam.
So the Boston Celtics now got their first loss.
The Boston Celtics have lost the game. So we have only two undefeated teams now. Cleveland and the Thunder. So we'll see.
All right, man. Yep. All right. Well, anyway, this is our show. Again, this is Buzzer Beaters. You can find us on Rumble, YouTube, X, Facebook, Pandora, no Napster, bro. Right? That one's dead. But you can find us on any outlet that you can find podcasts. Again, just look for the name Grumblings Media under that signature, and then you'll find us. Anyway, I'm Eddie Aparicio. This is Anthony Tuan Corral, and this is Buzzer Beaters, and we are signing off.